Thank you for the pause to turn the tape.
Well, you'll have no lack of participants. And ones who worked with these stories up through the periods of time to get to here have earned their right to participate in the grandest of all so far. It is like the flower that begins to open with a dream of a sound that travels with no wires. Radio waves. Who puts to pen and ink his vision? Who brings to the radio waves that vision in verbal form, descriptive form? Then brings to the television that vision in black and white and in color. And it brings forth the truth and the full-blown flower. And still you're only dealing with matter, manifested matter. This will not be the ultimate, you see. Because the ultimate is God. This is still physical matter being managed by God, which is the thought process that manifests. So the full-blown blossom is yet to be picked and written about in its fullness. So you're not through. You're going to live in that vision, in your holographic fullness. For that will be the next stage of mass media production. The physical into the etheric. Mr. Nimoy will recognize the verbal drawings that I am presenting. He's going to say, "My, these look like Star Trek." I have a way of touching the ones I wish to receive of me. And I believe that this plum should possibly be his. Please.
You may not answer on this one, but I'll ask. You said there, believe it or not, there are other perturbations in the universe. Are there any that you are allowed to share?
They just would have no connection to you whatsoever. There are many places right now in the universe that this very type of thing is happening. Man would want you to believe this is the only planet in this state of evolution, or no? No. It happens regularly in every orbital system. Why do you think you're the only habitable one in this one? Habitable one in this one. The others are into their higher dimensions already. And the planets from whence they came, or evolved, or recovering. And quite frankly, some were brought to here. Why do you think some of you are from Mars and some Venusians? You couldn't live on those places anymore. And aha, does that tell you something else, old friends? Anybody? Dorma knows. But she peeped. As a planet makes its evolution, the light moves with it. If you came from Mars or Venus or Jupiter, you might have gone a long way around to get back here, brother, but you can count on the fact you carry darkness. And you needed one more good cleansing out. Cycles of time and evolution, timeless, finite and infinite, seeming contradictions. What goes out comes back. I could answer you more specifically, Rick, it would have no meaning.
I believe you.
And it's like Ashtar. We have no business over there. And unless he has business here, this is where he would be elsewhere. That's why Dorma becomes very nervous when he shows up. And has very, very restless times. And she doesn't want to hear what he has to say when he comes through. Because when he comes through in his light form, that is serious business. Otherwise, he would not be standing around. Usually the only reason for a fleet together at any one given sector of the universe is for this purpose of evacuation. The projects can be handled by individual fleets most suitable for the life on that place. Pleiades people look more like Earth people. Now, I would say that some of the really monstrous creations that man has drawn in his portrayals of extraterrestrials is a bit much. You will find that almost always, and when I say almost, because there are planets with some thought forms that are formless, but you will find ultimately that most of the life forms will have different types of synthesizing sensors, digestive tracts, skin coverings, but they will be basically, if they are evolved, reflections of the Father Source, will be humanoid. You would not usually find an intelligent master, if you will, of the universe walking on all fours. It is simply the evolutional chain of existence. But you're going to have some pretty funny looking ones in your perception. But they are highly evolved. You will not find them acting like Alf. You will not find them acting like E.T. Gentle, loving, and healing, yes. But I'm sorry, brothers. I would not bring someone in my command with as little intelligence. Thank goodness they did let him at least create a system for communication. But it's a start. It is a start. It let man dream. And it said, you know, it's quite possible that no matter what they look like out there, they're really quite lovable. And that way, when we come and we look pretty much like you, you're almost even disappointed. And the funny thing is, you have now seen enough that if we set a craft right down in the middle of Tehachapi, most would not believe it. The rest would think Edwards has done something. Propaganda. Or I wonder if it has anything to do with special effects for that movie I heard about. And yet there would be great excitement because the energy pulsations tell you the difference. But especially if you could have Robert Redford walk off there. Do you see what narrow worlds?
Difference to a lot of people for something.
Well, Commander, it's comforting knowing there won't be any bar scenes like there were in Star Wars.
I didn't promise you that.
Rick, I kind of like the musicians in that place.
The musicians were interesting.
Well, you see, even Star Wars, where they portray wars, and I might say this, we carry defense systems. It's all not sweetie peachy creamy out here. But I'll tell you this much. At a time of critical evolution of any one of the planets, there's peace surrounding you. We do not have Star Wars like that as such. That does not mean that some of these places are uninhabited by darkness. And there are plenty who would blow up a planet, blow up a starship. Plenty of evil everywhere. So you stay out of the sectors that have that kind of evil. Please, Alan.
Well, I was going to say there are here. Meaning there are energies here on this planet that would just as soon blow it up.
Oh, absolutely. And are frequently stopped by the higher energies. We either jam the circuits electronically so the button doesn't work. But let me tell you, as a form of caution again, where the higher energies impact is through the mind. We can jam circuits. We will rarely, I mean under karmic debt, interfere with you personally in a physical way without permission. And believe me, if someone's going to push the red button to blow up the world, he's not going to ask permission of the light. So we will override, but we will usually override by disengaging the lever, blowing out the circuit. It just doesn't work. Unfortunately, there are other situations where that is impractical, and I have witnessed where others in the group physically take control, and sometimes it results in, I'm sorry, it can only be called murder. Assassination and execution are simple terms for murder. Anytime you kill a physical body, I don't care if it is from abortion, accident, it's murder. That is the term for physical death of one from another. And if the words in your language were left clear and pure, you wouldn't have so much trouble understanding. When someone lies dead, it is either suicide or murder, or natural causes, where that one, and basically that is suicide. There is no reason for death of a body, except through preference, choice of the inhabiting soul energy. Now, what can we talk about?
Commander, you mentioned that you, in the fourth dimension, under penalty of karmic debt, may not interfere. How high up in the dimensions does it go before there is no karmic ramifications, or is it all the way to God's will?
All the way. Even God would choose very, very carefully. But you see, that cycles all the way back to yourself. So whatever you perpetrate at the level of the God, you have perpetrated at whatever level in which you're experiencing. There's no way to separate it. Until you reach totally one with the God source, however, you are fragmented. And therefore other fragments impact you, intertwine with your space. So maybe ultimately at the God source, the highest karmic repercussions could be considered to occur. The difference is, when you have achieved the oneness with God, you would not do it. It just would not happen.
Commander, one of the things that seemed to be a common message among the Sedona channels while I was there is that we are entering a time of the higher frequencies in which we no longer fall under the so-called past rules of karma, or at least that's more or less the way it was presented, and that we can choose to act from a clean slate, as it were. Is that relatively accurate?
Relatively. The facts are, only you choose to have karma. So if we're going to put it right where it's at, there is no such thing, period. It is another toy played with by everyone. If you refuse to accept karma, then you have none. Who are you? You are God.
Okay, well, that's what they're saying.
But this has always been. Now, there are some lessons that you need to learn, and you come and experience in a given place. And when you make your transition from that given experience, let's call it Judgment Day at that level. Nobody judges you. You look at what you did and what you didn't do and what you think you'd like to change. You could very well at that point go right on to a darker experience than that one. But before you will come one with God again, because you will not allow it yourself, you will come back through the light source to clean up your act, if you will. And then when you witness from a higher dimension troubles occurring amongst those other fragments, you'll invariably want to get back in the show. There's not one of you who hasn't said, oh, I'd be glad to get off of this thing. I just want to go home to God and sit. No, you don't. You get up there and pretty soon you look at what's going on around and you know you create. So you'll bundle up and bunch up on the street corner and you say, hey, Joe, let's go create a little bit. Look what they've done. Let's go fix it. I learned all those lessons. I know a little bit. Let's go show them how to do it. I know how to build a dome. And those nerds, they're going to let their houses blow down. Let's go play.
Just a weekend furlough.
Well, you're on your weekend furlough. And you moan and you groan and oh my God, will we just have eating money day after tomorrow? It's one reason for staying plump. You can do well for two more days beyond all you skinny ones. You're fine. You're having a grand time. Even in your suffering, you tell yourself you're alive, experiencing, and that's all life is, experience. People perpetrate these horrible perceived things upon themselves so they know they are alive. The masses of ones walking around are deader than doornails. There is no life. They are blundering, drifting, sound asleep, searching to feel alive through everything that they can find except themselves. They cannot stand themselves. For they know they have denied their source. No matter what the mouth says, they have denied their respect for their God self. I'm not worthy of it. I will kill it if I can. I will suffer. I will abuse it. I will punish it. And it is the beauty of the universe when one light says, hey, I am a light. I am God. And I refuse to accept this any farther. And then you've got your best workers. I'm telling you the best. For they have done everything to themselves that they could think of. It didn't work. So might as well get about their job. And it gives the rest of you something to worry about. Release it. Release it. If your wife makes a fool of herself, does that mean you have to? Have a little compassion. If your husband makes a fool of himself, does that mean that you have to bear it if you're the wife? What about those kids? So they're making all those mistakes. And did they invite you in? I'll tell you, you better stay out of it. You're only going to make it worse. You handle things that are within you, your ability to handle. And then you keep out of it and release it. And if you once ask in behalf of those ones who are damaging themselves and turn it over up to us, you better stand back because we'll do it in a different way than you would expect. It may be very painful learning, but I guarantee you it's learned. You cannot take the responsibility for another. Are you your brother's keeper? No. You're your brother's brother. There is a big, big difference. And until somebody asks, it's not your business. Just as the father will let you wallow and flop around and suffer. My gosh, you can do all the suffering you want. And I hope my crew, when you have to suffer, you better damn well suffer better than anybody else around. Grovel. Don't do a half-assed job of it. Get it out of your system. And if you want to feel sorry for yourself, then do it. Just wallow in it. And then cast it aside for what it's worth. Nothing. And anyone who thinks by sympathy, if someone is genuinely in pain, and sometimes self-pity is genuine pain, analyze it, give assistance when asked, release it, and then if they are wishing to go ahead with it, allow them to. Doesn't mean all of you have to do it, but all of you from time to time, each one is going to be down and not understand. And that'll be the day you'll get another book that tells you the hierarchy of kings wear golden crowns. And you don't have one, do you? Son of a gun. You don't even have a phaser gun. Much less, you know, a star in your crown. You are the stars. Why would you need to poke them on your head? Please.
Last night when I was walking, I kept having quite a number of thoughts to do with spiritual alchemy. And that comes from some of my studies of St. Germain and alchemy. I'd like to have some information or input on that in the respect of through thought, alchemical processes for spiritual growth. On a conscious level, things that either one could do personally to help in tune themselves with the frequencies that are around them.
What would you think about that? I'm asking seriously. I'm not making light. I may say some things in a minute that will be a little bit surprising. You were going to think are coming from left field from any spiritual extra-dimensional person. Will it surprise all of you, shock you, right speechless? Most of you speechless anyway. To tell you, nothing has anything to do with anything. And I'm not talking about just this being an illusion, friends. I'm talking about all those teachers who come and try to explain to you the unexplainable. And they say, well, there's this spot up here that's the seventh chakra. Bullshit, I tell you. You are made up of a physical mass. And if you were chopped off at the neck and could still function, do you not think that you could reach your God? And it doesn't matter a whit in hell whether you're seventh, eighth, first, your orange, your green, your blue chakras are open or closed. It doesn't matter whether you have your hands up or down. Suppose you have no hands. And you once want to do something with these physical pieces of meat. that would make it right. It will never make it right. It doesn't do anything. If you hurt somewhere, you can even turn that off, as it is a simple distraction. Don't work at it. Believe it. Just say, God, here I am. I offer you whatever I have, which is all I have, my will. I'd like to get closer to you, please. And you've got all the alchemy you need. And the magic of turning elements into something else might be a nice trick. Because when you have reached your oneness with the Godness, you simply can do it, and you know you can do it, and you don't have to work at it. But those channels have to tell you something, don't they? The teachers have to come and tell you something. This was the problem with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, all you have to do is love your fellow man. They wanted to nail him with something. Through love he healed. Through love he made whole that which was broken. Through his God self, he tried to show the world you don't need chakras, you don't need crosses, you don't need emblems, crystals. You have everything you need, and man forgets. All you need to do is take what you have and remember how it was, and honor that God self. And I want to give you something, and early on, and this is why it will always seem to be a contradiction. Early on, I cannot tell you that. When you're deep into meditation with Satya Sai Baba, and yet Satya Sai Baba will tell you the same thing that Jesus Christ of Nazareth told. You don't need to do any of this. You don't need to face the east and put your head on the ground. If it makes you feel good, do it. So somebody goes out and says, Satya Sai Baba said, put your head on the ground. It'll make you feel good. No, he didn't. He doesn't care where you put your head. It's what's in your head. What you're feeling when you walk outside and you look up and you see us and you see God is your loneliness. Your longing, please let me get back there however I can. Tell me what to do so I can just get back there. And friends, you chose not to be there. And it makes me want to weep because you can't remember and you hurt. And you're willing to sit on pins or you're willing to hold your hands in ice water. You're willing to breathe stagnant air, if that's what it means, or fill it up with smoke. And it's your longingness in your soul to be one with your Father again. And you can get peace, but you will never be complete. Hatton is not complete. I'm as nearly complete as I ever am when I share with you ones who are the other fragments of myself. I am more complete when I come and be with you as Hatton, because then I share myself. you are lonely, you are homesick, you are sickened by what goes on around you. You know that all the rocks you can pile on top of a mountain will make no difference. They are simply your relations. They are also creatures of God. And your instinct tells you they are. And somehow you feel if you do something with them. That's the way myths begin. Truth is very simple. It just is. And you are. You're trying to complete a job so you can go again and be in wholeness. Ones go to their churches. Well, I'll tell you, it's better to be in a church that at least teaches somewhere love and peace, even if the most of the doctrines are incorrect. Is it not better than watching Rambo for the children, all is simply balance. And yet, while the perception of the need of the physical being, and this is what you're experiencing, if you truly did not feel cold or heat, you could not perceive the need of other men to have it. You've got to feel that wind blowing at 150 miles an hour and watch the buildings come down to see the need for a rounded dome. You have to have hunger in your belly before you can perceive your fellow man must eat. You have to feel the pain of loss of a loved one before you can have the compassion for your brother's needs. And that means you ones who have come for this job have had to feel it all and had to experience the worst of it all. And you're going to have to remember it, else you cannot guide the way. The Master Jesus, who is the captain of your ship, is trying to keep you off the cross. He bore it. That was enough. You ones have had the hot foot too. That was enough to make you wish to not have any of your ones, because all those fragments out there are part of you. And you don't really want them to go through it, if you can help it at all. And you're pretty sure that you can make a tremendous impact, else you wouldn't be doing what you're doing now, and that's sitting in this room, planning a motion picture, future studios, survival. Oh yes, comes down to Ella, and she puts it in her book. Many ones would tell you to put aside food, etc., etc., etc. But all you really need to be is one with your father and he'll take care of you. Bullshit! He sure will. That image of himself will go straight back to some other dimension, but your body is going to be dead. Or you're going to take some care. Now that's just the way it is. That's fact. And you can read 5,000 books that tell you the same thing, and your heart knows it is a lie. It also knows that, you better believe it, that soul will not die. It will go right home to Father, somewhere at some level. So it's up to you. This group has chosen not to starve the bodies. There need to be physical forms, robots, if you will. That body is nothing but your robot. You are the computer mind that runs that robot that you call your body. The motor function is done by God the Father, the energy source of the universe. You don't like to think of yourself as robots, do you? And yet you're nothing else. And even a good robot is going to lose a chip every now and then, or break off a part, or its nuts and bolts are going to wear out. So just as it needs tending, so does your body. But that's all the value it has. Information sensors. You reach out your hand, it's hot or cold, and it's registered in the brain, which you are. If the nerves to that hand right here were severed from your essence, it would feel nothing. And finally, it would die from misuse, malabuse. And there would never be perfection and total peace in the hearts of man, which is your soul essence, until you are once again in total oneness with the Father. You will feel the loneliness. At this point, you are feeling your loneliness as you face the impact of what is going on around you and the impacts of other energies. You feel it more sensitively because you know the difference. The others are still just searching. And we always come back to Dharma says, well, we cannot be the only ones. And I repeat, it doesn't matter. If we do our business and there's no one else, it doesn't make any difference. Somebody will have done it. If there are a zillion out there doing it, fine. You've got a lot of help. You don't have to worry about it one way or another. We just keep going right, straight ahead. And if we burn our fingers in one place, we're very careful the next place. And I think now I will let this digest a little bit while Oberle either plays you a tape from John Jeffers or he tells you where we are.
All right. We're very near the end of this tape.
But you don't need it on here then, do you?
No.
I'll just step aside and you can discuss and I will be here and you can decide if you want a tape or not.
All right.
I'm going to make that tape.